talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It is a Getaway Friday, and we thank the veterans for coming in today. That was a really great program. Linda Sims joins us here. Voice of a People can be heard on this station 10:15 to 12 noon every Wednesday and Thursday. And we had the veterans in, and we're celebrating Veterans Day. And I did get the news this morning that comedian Gallagher did die, pass away this morning at the age of 76. I know a lot of people have been sending me messages, and I do appreciate that. People associate him and I together because of his two stints in Marion that were rather long stints. The first time he came in, I believe, was 2012, and he came in and did a week of radio shows with me. And stayed quite a bit of time that time. Then he came back in 2018 and did a stint of week of radio shows on this station with us. And I can tell you this, I guess inside, that Gallagher called me. I was trying to think this morning, the last time I spoke with him, but it was recently. I mean, it was probably within the last 3 months. And I had not talked to him in quite a while, but he had sent me a message. He was trying to do something with, we'll try to find the date here. He was doing something, he was always involved in something, I guess is the best way I should put it. He was always involved in something, and he was asking my opinion on some things, and so I did speak with him then, and that was probably, I'm going to try to pull this up here. Last time I spoke with him would have been October the 4th, so about a month ago. Spoke with him then. I knew he was not doing well. He had not been doing anything since the pandemic because of his health concerns. But you know, now here's the serendipitous thing of this, Linda, is that Gallagher did a show, I believe, after all that time in the pandemic of not doing shows from 2020 through 2022. He came back, first show since the pandemic, and did one. I think it was late September or early October. And obviously now that would have been his last show.
Wow.
But he did come back and do one.
2020?
Would have been, not since 2020 had he done one, but he came back last month.
Oh, okay.
He was returning
right.
to try to get back to normal.
Oh.
And he did this one, and he was not feeling well.
Oh.
And I knew he was not feeling well from our conversation.
Right.
And, you know, he's 76. That happens.
Yes.
He was an Ohioan. People should. I don't know if people associate that with him. He was from, I believe, Lorain.
Okay.
Ohio. But always good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this about Gallagher. Gallagher, people always say, well, how in the world did you get Gallagher to come do weeks with you and hours on the radio? And, I mean, he didn't live in Ohio, and how did he get here, and so on and so forth. Well, here's the truth of it all, and I think this should be said in Gallagher's passing, is that we never paid him for a radio show. We never paid for his hotel rooms, never paid for his travel, never paid for his food. He did all that, and he never asked for anything.
Mm.
So that is a fact.
Yes.
I can attest to that. And it happened two different times, 2012 and 2018.
That's great.
And on this station, we have about 2 weeks of him doing programs with us. So we'll probably put together a special, because he's one of those people, like Dick Gregory, like Pat Carroll, who really gave time and effort to this station.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a long list of archive. We have a long archive of Gallagher. So Adam will probably put together probably a two-hour special, because Gallagher actually came to the studio.
Okay.
And I know probably did 12 hours with me on the air. So, you know, he's gone.
Yes.
And I thank everybody for the information this morning that he had passed away. And he certainly was a force, I would say, in Marion. So there you go. Do you remember when he came to town, Linda?
No.
You never made it over to the station when he was with us?
I don't think so. I do not remember that.
He worked nights.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, no wonder.
He would come in at like 8 to 10, and it was always interesting.
Where were we located then?
We were over Beltone Building.
That's what I thought when you said nights. Okay.
Yeah, he came in at night.
I missed him.
I don't think I ever slept during that period of time because I'd come in and do the morning show, and then I had to come back from 8 to 10 at night to be with Gallagher.
Okay.
So for the week, 2 weeks he was here, I was about dead.
Well, you survived. You made it.
I did survive. I made it here today. But rest in peace, Gallagher. Mm-hmm. We will miss you. You were a good pal. And I will say, he gave me a couple national stories because he announced his retirement from stand-up comedy, which didn't turn into a retirement. He announced that with me, and that became a national story.
Okay.
And then he also announced that he was broke when he came to Marion.
Oh.
And you know, that there's a whole story behind that I won't get into, but
he
that became a national story as well.
Mm.
But we remained friends till a month ago we spoke.
Oh, that's so nice.
So, you know, God bless him.
Nice story.
Complicated man. You know, I'm not going to... The people who met him would know what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
He was complicated.
Okay.
He could have a temper.
Mm-hmm.
He could have a... You know, he liked things his way. He was a perfectionist, I think, is probably what you would call him.
Okay.
But a good guy in general. You know, the first time he came to Marion, we were having that financial crisis in the country. So this is probably 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And, yeah, probably that area. And it was Christmas time. And he was playing the Palace. And he said, if you have been fired, come to my show, I won't charge you for a ticket. And that happened.
Hmm.
So.
Nice guy.
That's Gallagher.
Very empathetic, yeah.
Is there somebody in the almost 9 years of being here that sticks out in your mind as somebody, you know, on my program, like I say, it's been the Dick Gregorys, the Pat Carrolls, the Gallaghers, Mr. McFeely, certainly Phil Donahue. Who sticks out in your mind as a seminal person?
Well, Scott, you've had so many. I just can't.
Well, you've had some good ones.
What really sticks out? Yes, I do.
You did
one
a show
in particular, huh?
You did a show with Sister Hatch.
Yes, I did.
Early on.
Yes.
And she was talking about the devil coming in her window, and I remember I was driving down Delaware Avenue listening to this show, and I wasn't laughing at what she was saying,
right?
But the way she said it,
right,
I mean, you would have thought that a man was crawling in her window, and she said, get out. You know, she it was a great show, and I'm sure that's in the archive somewhere.
I'm sure it is too. She was a very colorful person. I can say that.
Is a very colorful person,
and very spiritual. And I don't doubt that that truly happened, you know, whether it was a dream or actual.
You know, when you hear stories like that, see, now, I don't, in my own mind, I think to myself, now, that does not seem logical,
mm-hmm.
but I know her, and she's not an illogical person.
Right.
So, maybe that's why it comes off a little comical to me when somebody who's... You know, it's like when somebody very serious does something comical.
Mm-hmm.
You laugh even harder because that person is so straight.
Right.
And that's why when she's telling that story, I'm thinking, she's one of the straightest people I know.
Yes.
Serious, informed. So when she's saying these phrases, it just sounds funny to me.
Well, it does to people because, you know, we're so associated with what we can see and what we can feel, you know, the visual, that they sometimes don't understand that there is a supernatural world as well. And it does exist. And it is alive and thriving. So you're talking about something you can't see. A lot of these things do come through dreams, you know.
So who to you was memorable?
I've been so blown away by you and the people that you have interviewed. I truly did, Gregory. And just not too long ago, Ice Cube interviewed him?
It might be. It could have been.
Yeah.
We've had some good guests.
Yes, you have. Some great guests. You know, just a lot. Thunderbolt Patterson. How's he doing? Have you heard from him lately?
Near as I can tell, he's down in Atlanta doing okay.
Great.
81 now.
81. Wow.
You know, though, Dick Gregory was an interesting person because I don't know what... You would not think that Dick Gregory and I would have a whole lot in common. And I don't necessarily know that we did.
Mm-hmm.
But he liked me and I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not go through agents or managers. I called his wife, and I could get Dick Gregory on 24 hours notice, and he would do 45 minutes, and it was just always fantastic. Whether people agreed or disagreed, I don't know how many interviews I ended up doing with him, but it was many.
And he may have been the one who really sparked something in me as far as you in your interviews and things, because years ago in the 70s, he was at the top of the chart, an advocate, you know, for African Americans and young black men, you know, as well as that, as I do. And he was just a spokesman, and he was just out there in front of the people. So, yes, I was very blown away by that.
You know, one thing I'll always remember about Dick Gregory, and I think the picture might be behind me here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That picture, I have that framed picture at home, too, on the wall. And I'll tell you why. For people who can't see this, obviously, because it's radio, it's a picture of Dick Gregory, and I'm interviewing him, and we're in folding chairs, and we're obviously outside. Well, where are we? We were at the 40th anniversary of the Kent State shootings.
Oh, okay.
We are sitting in the area where the kids were shot.
Right.
Students.
Right.
And to me, I mean, not only the fact that it's Dick Gregory there, not only the fact that we're doing an interview out in the middle of this field, but this field where 40 years ago to the day,
right,
students were shot by the National Guard.
Sure was.
So that I'll always remember that.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
Lucky in that situation. So, yeah, I mean, that's very memorable. And yesterday, I had a memorable moment yesterday. I don't know if you heard, but Governor Strickland came on.
Did he?
You know, this week, what other station in the country, I always say this, who's had two governors and a treasurer of the United States on in 1 week?
I can't think of any.
Even the national networks don't do that.
Right, right.
So we had Governor Strickland on yesterday, and I said to him, because we were talking about the elections, and obviously they did not go well for his party, the Democratic Party here in Ohio. So we're talking about him, and he said, Jesus, running as a Democrat, could not win an election in Ohio right now.
Oh, he said that?
Can you imagine?
That was a very profound statement.
When he said that, I said, boy, that's something really, there's some thought that should be put into that.
A lot of thought. First of all, nothing's too hard for Jesus. Nothing's too hard for God. So.
Well, and he was a Methodist minister.
Okay.
So I think what he was saying was, you cannot win as a Democrat in Ohio, I think was what he was trying to emphasize. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
He had a way of saying it.
I'm sure he did. I don't know if I would have drew the Lord out there like that, but hey. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So I don't know what that's saying about the Republican Party. It's really sad that an imbalance, I call it an imbalance of power. That is not always a good thing for one party to have all power over any place. I don't think it should be that way. I don't. If we can't come together and work together as a country or a city or a state, and respect one another and where we are in our beliefs or in our faith. I mean, what are we doing?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were here on election night, and it felt like the Republicans were winning everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. You know, if you went home and watched television, other states did not go that way.
Okay.
And clearly Ohio has picked away. But in Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz did not win. down in Georgia. Herschel Walker and Warnock are going to a runoff because Herschel Walker could not win. So it doesn't look like the Republicans are going to take the Senate. Not even sure if they're going to take the House at this point. So it did not go as well for them as they thought it would.
Well, I guess that's a good thing in a way.
I don't think we've heard anything from our mayor yet.
Oh, you have not?
No. No, Mary Ellen came on.
Okay.
The day after, the morning after, but nothing from the mayor.
The mayor, he lost in a big way.
20%, I think it ended. 17%, but only got 34% of the vote in Marion.
Well, I guess that's losing in a big way.
So where does he go from here?
I don't know.
That's the only one I think about from Tuesday night, because we know Dr. Davis is going to be our commissioner. The fire levy passed. We're going
right.
to get, we're going to get the fire station. The River Valley levy did not pass. Okay, but our mayor really got it handed to him on Tuesday night. So what does he do? Does this tarnish him? Does he run for mayor again? What can you do when Governor Strickland's saying no Democrat can win on the state level?
Sherrod Brown is still in office, isn't he?
The last one.
Last one.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I know that it was interesting coverage, and I'm glad we did it, but not a good night for a certain party.
True.
You know, when you look back at things, what do you think the lessons we have learned, not just from politics, but the lessons from people. You know, I'm thinking on this day that Gallagher dies, what lessons has broadcasting and media taught you in the last 9 years?
Well, from my perspective and from where I am and where I sit on WGH Talk and formerly WWGH 107.1.com 107.1. I think we have come with the truth. I don't think we've been biased. I think we have been up fair and consistent and firm in where we come from, you know, what we believe in. And we respect our guests and wherever they are, you know. I think we are well respected, even in our community, in that way, because it's not that we were out there trying to throw shade on other people, or you know what I'm saying, what they believe, what they thought. We always welcome people to come in. I don't think we ever turned anyone away.
You know, I was trying to think of that the other day, if anybody was ever denied, and I can't think.
I can't either.
But I'll tell you, we've had some outlandish people, but
yes, we have.
But we never denied anybody.
No, because I've had Republicans and Democrats on my show. I was trying to think of that lady's name that used to come on when we were out at the mall. I can't think of her name, but I have to go back in some of my papers, you know, from the past. But, hey, we did election nights. Even out there at the mall when we were there, you know, big crowds of people, you know.
You know, I think about it, and I think, you know, I remember, there was a and I won't remember his name. This is how insignificant it's become, but it's been many years now. But there was a guy who threatened to sue me and the whole station at one point, and I put him on the air. I said, well, calm down.
Right.
Put your lawyer away. Come back on the air with me and let's talk about this.
Right.
And he did. Now, the reason the whole thing, it started at the fair. He was dressed as, I remember if he was dressed as Ben Franklin or what it was.
Wow.
But he came over and he said that they were teaching, and I'm not going to remember what he said specifically. But essentially, he said they were teaching things at Harding High School that they were not. And I knew they were not teaching these things. So I called Harding and I said, listen, there was a man who made an assertion while I was at the fair on the air that you were teaching these things. And they said, no, we're not. And if you want to see the book, come get it. We'll show you the book.
Right.
And so I went on the air and I said, listen, we had this guy on. This is what he said. But this is the truth. This is what Harding said. High school.
Right.
Well, he didn't like that. So he heard about that, and boy, he came in, and I had smeared him, and blah, 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 and da, da, da. And I said, listen, I said, why don't you just come back on the air? We'll discuss it. And he did.
Okay. Did he feel better?
I don't know if he ever felt better, but
did he
no lawsuits went flying. I think he knew that there was not really much of a leg to stand on.
Right, right.
By the way, does anybody else have any favorite memories? Boy, we have some longtime listeners out there.
Oh, my. You're talking, what, eight years? Oh.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just, it to me is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I totally forget things that happen because so many things have happened.
So many. You're right. So many things. Even being in the Popcorn Festival.
Yes. Well, like, the thing about being sued there, that just came back to me. I hadn't mm-hmm. thought about that in the longest time.
Whoa. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, well.
I remember when the guy showed up at the mall and pulled a gun out on me. Yeah.
What?
I'm not going to say who it was because he doesn't own the business anymore, but he was a well-known business owner here in town. He's still alive. But we had done a show on the air about should guns be allowed in public places or something like that. And we got done with the show, and I went back in the office area, and I think Charlie was still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie's doing his show out in the office, and I knew this businessman, so I'm sitting back. Or Charlie's doing a show in the main area studio.
Right, right.
I'm back in the office, and this businessman comes in, and I know him, and I'm sitting at the desk, and he comes in. And he says, you know, I heard your show on guns this morning. And I said, oh, okay. And he reaches into his breast pocket, and pulls out a gun.
Oh, no.
And I...
How did you handle that?
Well, I said, I don't think you're supposed to have that in
right,
a public
right,
place
right.
like this. And he said, I'm just showing you how easy it is to get something into a place like this.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
But no
thank
thanks.
Thank you for doing that. Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you, but no thanks, right?
Thanks, but no thanks. But it happened.
Whoa. I remember Steve Chafin and John.
Yes.
What is John's name? How can I think of his last name?
Is he still around here?
I don't know, because, you know, he left after that debacle at the Board of Elections a few years back. And I lost Steve as a guest. A lot went down, and things just never turned out. But that was almost a knockdown, drag out.
You know, I heard that show, too.
Yeah.
That was, what would you call that? An out-of-control show?
Oh, of course. Out-of-control.
Yeah.
Feelings were in that.
Oh.
You know? Not only opinions, but feelings.
Personal.
Yeah, personal.
The problem is they became personal with
yes,
each other.
Yes, yes. Well, see, that's what has happened in politics. It's become personal with people.
Now, wasn't that 16 or 15? I mean, that was early on.
Yes, it was early on. It sure was.
Yeah, that was, now, how did you feel sitting there?
I had to tell him, well, it's my show. He was trying to take over my show, right? I'm like, it's my show. You just can't do what you want to do. You know, I have to have some type of control here, you know. So he kind of settled down a little bit, you know, but.
It took a minute.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Good
It was
radio.
Entertaining.
Yeah,
it was
it's good
you
radio.
You know, I always say you cannot fake a fight on radio.
No, you cannot.
But when one happens and it's real, it is riveting to listen to.
Yes, it is. Yes.
But I have also known people who tried to... fake's a bad word, but they try to manufacture a disagreement. And it's
so that's
not...
even worse, right?
Yeah, because I think people can tell that it's been a manufactured disagreement, and you're just trying to do it for... entertainment value. But again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a call. Fruitcake Toss is heating up.
And the thing about that was, they worked together, John and Steve.
They must have never talked to each other.
How many elections had they worked through together?
Many.
Yeah.
Many. But something, I think talking about the candidates drew them to almost blows. You know what I feel sad about? Sarah, our listener who drives the bus, she tried that Fruitquake Mountain Dew, that Fruitcake Mountain Dew.
Did she?
She liked it.
Really?
Now that can't be.
Oh my.
Something's got to be wrong with her taste buds.
Ooh, a lot of sugar, probably.
Doesn't it sound horrible?
Yes, it does.
I can't even imagine wanting to drink that.
Yes, me either.
You know, I'm not a fan of Mountain Dew to begin with, but boy, once you make it a fruitcake flavored Mountain Dew, then we really got problems.
I used to drink Mountain Dew every now and then, but I kind of put down all soda, all pop.
I could drink a Mountain Dew. I'm not saying that I couldn't drink one.
Pals and pals of ice.
Yeah, but I just fruitcake version. No, I can't. Can't imagine. Oh, there goes another shot with. I'm getting the Gallagher messages.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, put us on national front.
That's right. Put us right back there.
He was interviewed and spent many days and nights here in Marion, Ohio.
He did. He did. I can.
WWGH.
I can attest to that. He was a guy.
Yeah. Interviewed by Scott Spears. Put us on the map.
That's right. Oh, somebody's honking at us.
Okay.
Now, I had something to ask there. Well, the people who've come in our studio, Thunderbolt Patterson, Gallagher, Mr. McFeely, who else has been in the studio? I know we've had others come through.
You know, Terry put this on Facebook about, I think, all the shows you've done is like 2,000-something pictures.
Oh. It could be.
Oh my goodness!
It could be. It's been it's been many.
Like over 2,000 and some, and half of these people I don't know, but you know them and you have interviewed them.
Well, I've been lucky. You know, I don't know what else to say.
Martha Dowse.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I think to me it really is just luck. I don't know. I wish I knew how it all happened, but it certainly did, and I'm certainly glad it did, and I'm certainly glad it's all taped and in our archive, and
yes,
we'll live on forever.
Of course.
Which I think is the real hallmark of all that stuff, is that it'll live on.
Yes, live on. Wow.
And, you know, to me, it's very hard to be upset about anything because I do look back at life sometimes and I think, wow, I was very, very lucky. So you can't complain when bad moments happen because you've been so lucky in other areas.
It's like 3,470 photographs.
I've gotten around.
Yes, you have.
I've gotten around.
Yes, you have.
All right. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. You don't know what's good for you.
Oh, you're not talking about that toxic soda, are you?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You know that they just sent a word out that could poison your taste buds permanently.
Well, I'm not here for a long time, but I am here for a good time.
Well, then you can't be drinking that stuff. Are you going to try to
listen,
eat? Are you going to try to
what?
Eat? Are you going to try to eat a fruitcake and wash it back with that vile drink?
I kind of did, because remember I told you the pastor's wife gave me three of them to practice? Guess he doesn't have three fruitcakes now.
Well, how far can you throw a fruitcake?
I didn't practice because I ate them, Scott.
You ate three fruitcakes?
Well, not by myself. My roommate helped. I have a roommate now, and she loves fruitcake. And she loves the fruitcake Mountain Dew, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm converting people everywhere. Linda, have you tried it?
No, ma'am, I have not.
Well, you know what they said when we were growing up, you gotta take your no thank you bite.
No. So, hey, we're talking about famous moments here. Now, you've been listening for quite a while. What moments stick out in your mind at WGH?
Who was the gentleman that used to call in all the time? Was his name, I want to say Gail.
Oh, Gail, yeah, I remember Gail, yeah.
I enjoyed listening to him, and I think I've never been shy that Charlie was my favorite. I mean, that's actually what, you know, how I even got started listening to you guys. My mom always was a big fan of Charlie, so pretty much everything Charlie Evers, I could listen to him for, you know, hours upon hours. He was just a great storyteller. But I always liked it when Gail called in. I kind of miss, like, the earlier days because Sean and Terry were on a whole lot more.
You know, I don't miss those days.
Wow.
Wow. No, no. But, you know, it became at one point... well, I think, you know, when I went on earlier, they couldn't get up that early.
Well, okay.
No, I mean, those are all good memories. I mean, I certainly would say those are all positive things.
I remember one time I was so embarrassed because I actually was trying to pay you a compliment. And you took it as an insult. Well, it was during, I think, like, the race for the president's office. And we were talking about, like, Donald Trump and all that. And you said something about... how you were going to tell the truth. You said, I'm going to be honest, or something about how you said, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to be honest about what you were about to say. And I said, well, that's refreshing. And I meant compared to, like, you can't always count on all, you know, news media or whatever to give you, like, the news without their personal slant. And you said, yeah, because usually all I do is lie. And I thought, oh, no.
Well, I don't remember that. I don't remember that, but I'm sure it did happen.
Oh, yeah, it did. That was years ago. But I was like, oh, no, that's not what I meant at all.
You know, I'll tell you what's interesting. When you do as many hours, I think, that we have done, that Linda has done, that I have done, you can't possibly remember it all anymore. And you remember things that, I mean, there'll be people who will come up to me in the grocery store and they'll say, you know, whatever became of, whatever happened to, what, and, you know, it's hard sometimes to even remember what happened. I don't know what that is. Your brain, I think, can only put so much in.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of funny moments. Like, you get some characters on here. That lady Opal.
Opal.
Remember how many times you tried to get in there? She kept going.
Opal Covey.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yes, yes. And didn't you say something nasty to me recently, though?
Glenn, remember when Glenn? I told you I busted out laughing because he said the fruitcake reminded him of a McCall that had thrown up or something like that.
Yes, I remember that. Well, but I, you know, you said something nasty to me, though, recently. You thought that I took badly. What was that you said? It wasn't too long ago.
Oh, I had told you, you were, like, going on and on about what kind of delicacies you wanted for lunch. And I said, if you were mine, I'd give you a bologna sandwich and a Fago until you shut your mouth and be glad you got anything.
No.
I said, aren't you glad I'm not your girlfriend? Was it that? God, is that what you're talking about?
No, that one doesn't bother me. No, it was, I think it had something to do with when I was going after Abby.
Oh, I said you may or may not be an egotist.
Oh, that's right. Egotistical.
Yeah.
But see... You know, as you can tell, that was just her.
I don't know that I can tell that. Let me ask you the same question. What's, like, one of your favorite memories of your... So you guys have been there 9 years?
Yeah, in June it'll be 9 years. So we're more than 8.5 in.
Okay, so what's one of your most memorable moments?
You know, that is... I have no idea because, to be honest with you, there are things that stick out in my mind... But a lot of it is off-the-air stuff. That's why I say I probably could... I would love one day just to write something down. I don't know if anybody would ever want to read it. But of things that happened in between the breaks. Because we do all talk to each other in between the breaks. And sometimes some of the funniest things would happen in between the breaks. That you would never guess. Sometimes it carries over on the air. But, you know, with Gallagher dying today, I think if he was in the studio with me. So tons of stuff happened in the breaks. I'll tell you a Gallagher story now since he's gone that I can tell. Not that I couldn't tell it when he was still here, but it happened during the break. His mother, when he was here in 2018, his mother and brother were still alive. And he did not have a good relationship with them at all. He had not talked to them in years. And somehow, before the show that night, we got talking. I said, but, you know, your mother is in her 90s now. She's in a nursing home down in Florida. Don't you want to see her one more time before she would kick off? And he really didn't say too much about it. So the break came during the show. We did 2 hours. The middle of the show break came. He went outside. I think he was smoking. He came back in. And he just let it rip. I mean, he was furious. Why do you want me to see her? All you want me to do is go down there and then it was just at the top of his lungs. He snapped, and we only had 10 minutes, and then the music starts, and we go right back into the show, and nobody ever said a word about it again.
Well, probably what you did is you made him think, and he honestly probably wrestled with that, because nobody, you only get one mom, and nobody wants to write their mom off. Like, you probably always sort of wish you could reconcile your differences with your mother, so it probably just forced him to think about things he had tucked away for a long time.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting, because now that you're saying it, some of the things that I remember doing this program that we're doing right now, the exchange program, a lot of times has been panel discussions, and we've been through elections and Supreme Court hearings, and there have been heated conversations when Charlie and Marianne used to be on together, when Brandy was here for a while, she did not see eye to eye with Charlie and Weasel Boy, and you know, there were moments of very heated exchange. Sean got into heated exchanges with people, that happened, but I always tried to tell people, you know, that never spills over after the show. That's only on the air that those disagreements happen. You know,
I used to always enjoy you and Charlie going back and forth, because you guys are really both opinionated, and some of your guys' exchanges are pretty funny.
Oh, well, I had the best time with Charlie. I mean, I don't know. You know, I always said when he departed back in 2020, I don't think there'll ever be a relationship in broadcasting for me quite like that, because he went back to an era of broadcasting that is gone, and we had, I don't think I worked with anybody as closely, because Charlie came in 3 days a week, and I spent a lot of time with him on and off the air, so, you know, that was just a fun relationship for me, and yeah, I have tons of memories of that, and you know, I think now, gosh, with Christmas coming up, one of my favorite memories, and as many times as I hear it, I will still laugh, is
I already know what you're gonna say.
He and Bob Austin. Because it was an organic moment. Charlie was, you know, with him no longer with us, I have to say, in all honesty, he was, he couldn't have driven a car that day. Let's put it that way. He had had that much eggnog. And when Bob Austin called in and said, "Hey, Charlie, how you doing?" And Charlie shot back to him, "I don't know, how are you doing today?" I'm telling you, I hit the floor.
There have been a lot of times, like, out in the listening audience, I'll be imagining, like, what kind of shenanigans are going on in that studio.
Oh.
Like, how are you not just sitting there biting your knuckle, like, trying to keep from busting out laughing?
Oh, when that happened, I just, and everybody, I couldn't even, because I didn't know if Bob got it. And
right.
And, oh, it was just Merry Christmas. It was just, and then the year that Charlie, again, a lot of my mom, do go back, Charlie, you might remember this, Linda, it was at one of the Christmas parties. We had the Leszewski family that used
yes.
to come in.
Yes. You couldn't say the name.
Charlie could not say the name Leszewski. And once I
remember that.
And once I realized that he could not say the name, every time that we announced him, I said, "Charlie, why don't you announce your favorite group?"
Oh, boy.
And he would say, "Let her rip." And I'd say, "No, what's their name?" He would try it. He just couldn't get it.
I was listening to him one day, and he had me reeled in. He was talking about how to make fish, this one particular kind of fish. And he goes into this, you preheat the oven at this, and you do that, and you put this fish on a board, and you season it, and you put it in the oven. I'm thinking of boards, but I didn't catch it. You know, I didn't see what he was leading up to. And then you cook it, and you take it out. And he said, "And then you throw the fish away and eat the board," you know, because apparently that kind of fish was so nasty, you wouldn't want to just eat it. But I was, like, listening to everything, like, he had me reeled in.
I'll tell you, a lot of our funniest memories do happen at Christmas. Now, let me tell you one here that I don't know if I've ever told on the air, but and don't tell anybody I told you this.
Okay,
but here's what happened. And I don't know if you, Linda, you had to be there for this. We were doing the Christmas show, and it was back at the mall. It was in the second studio where the Toggery used to be. And Santa Claus always comes to our Christmas parties. Well, I was sitting behind the desk, and it was the three seats across from me were Charlie, Santa Claus, and Sean. And I went to Santa Claus, and I said, "Santa Claus, how are you tonight?" "Oh, I'm fine." Well, Charlie did not like Santa Claus's energy. So he immediately said, boy, Santa sounds like he's in a good mood tonight. And for 2 hours, if you listen to that show, he beats up on Santa Claus for 2 hours every time he opened up his mouth. And we had 10 minutes left to go of the show, and I don't think I said it, but if you were in the studio, Santa Claus had finally had enough. He stood up, he threw his gloves down on the table, and he walked out of the room. And when the show was over, I thought he was back in the office. I go back there, and he had left. He had gotten in his car and went home. He'd had enough.
I do remember that.
Well, we certainly had a lot of good laughs and even some tears over the years.
And what will happen this Christmas?
Oh, Lord bless.
My gosh, we got the fruitcake toss.
Heaven only knows. Yeah, isn't that so cool? Like, this would be right up Charlie's alley. He would be all about this.
Yeah, that is a shame. But, you know, I believe he's around. You know, we have pictures of Charlie all over the studio, and, you know, Angie is with us, which is so very nice. And also...
My phone has a mind of its own, as you well know. I haven't been able to tune in. Are you guys still doing the Friday night?
Yes, yeah. It's been periodical because Angie's had some commitments with her daughter, but yeah, it's still there.
And also,
Jeannie, who probably is listening right now. Jeannie has always been a devoted listener of this station. So to have her here for the anniversary parties and the Christmas parties and the fruitcake toss still is always a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly don't feel that he's gone in the sense of totally wiped out. You know, he's still around. Same thing with Marge and Paul Savage and all those great people.
Yeah, and there was somebody else. I think I was thinking of Paul Savage. And I love Paul Savage's That Fruitcake song.
Oh, you know, I promised to play that for you, and I never did. You know, remind...
No, if this is the old request, I'll scratch that. I want to get in peppy mood. Play the Poison Control method.
Oh, the Poison Control... Yeah, that's you know, I don't know if that's in the system. Let me take a look here. It might be, because
that never stops being funny.
No, and it never has. And we've done full shows on that, and we've beat it into the ground, but we're going to continue to beat it into the ground.
That's what we do.
Hold on, here it goes.
Whatever happened to your pinheads? They just kind of fell off.
No, that was fun, too. Well, that was last Christmas. Geraldo calling in on Christmas Eve. That was, I'll never forget that.
Wait, there's some people we got to try to get back. Where are you at, Reese?
Yeah, Lee, well, I talked to him not too long ago. Hopefully he's going to convert over. Wait, here it is. Here's Poison Control. Let's take a listen. I think... Let's see if this is it. I think it is.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24/7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
Oh my God.
That guy was way too happy about just having been bit by a snake.
You know what, Linda? We've done our public service for today.
Yes, we have.
We've told people what to do if they're poisoned. Well, Sarah, thanks for calling.
Hey, you guys
will always
be the icing on my fruitcake.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I tell you, Linda, we've done it.
Yes.
And we're going to continue to do
it.
Yes,
we are.
What will happen this Christmas?
Oh, my.
We've got the pumpkin pie pizza coming in the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We got that, where we're going to have a big thing with you and me and Glenn and Bob Welsh. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're going to be eating pumpkin pie pizza at 8 o'clock in the morning. What a way to bring in the holiday.
8 o'clock.
And then we got the fruitcake toss on the 15th of December. The Christmas party will come up in December. boy, we're going to roll right into old Father Holiday.
Yes, absolutely.
And by the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Oh, here is another. They always start to call just as we're about to go off the air. What is the luck of that? Go ahead, caller.
Did you find out about the Founders Park? Because there was an ad in the paper.
No, what was going on in Founders Park yesterday?
It says building gigabit or gigabyte America tour. Hey, Marion, don't miss this exciting event. Join us for games, prizes, and giveaways, and experience the future of fiber internet. Our first 100 guests will receive $5 off a meal at Taste of Memphis. Location, Founders Park, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Oh, so
Friday's tonight's hours are 4 to 8, and Saturday it's 10 to 2.
Perfect. So this is about internet through Frontier.
Yeah.
Oh, does it say how much the internet costs?
No, it doesn't, of course.
Well, hey, thanks for tipping us off. 4 to 8 tonight. Hopefully it'll be dry down in Founders Park. Thanks.
Okay,
yeah,
bye-bye.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be dry. Well, Linda, I think we've done it for this week. Any big guests coming up next week on Voice of a People?
I don't even know.
There'll be something good.
Oh, yeah. Always have a good show. And I pray that people still listen, because sometimes it surprises me who's going to be my guest.
Well, that's good, though.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
The element of surprise is never a bad thing, and that's, again, I think a hallmark of something we've done here. Some of the best shows have been unplanned.
I do have Fred Malone on next Thursday.
Oh, perfect.
And DeVale Solomon, a young girl who's going to nursing school.
That's a good group.
African-American, yeah. And she's a caretaker for her mother also.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tune into that to be sure. For this day, for Linda Sims and all the veterans, have a beautiful, happy Veterans Day. And if you see a veteran,
yes,
thank them for their service. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
That before, you know, and teaching. And so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.
You know, is there any particular reason? I'm glad it does, but that the sign still